Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Well, it was just a great start to the week as we spent some time on Monday in Parkville at the National Golf Club with Dr. Bill Bush and his team at Team Smiles for their annual charity golf tournament. And it was a beautiful, glorious day, and a whole bunch of great people were there that ponied up and did what they do every year. Fifth consecutive year they've had this golf tournament. Team Smiles was the creation and invention of Dr. Bush about 16 years ago. And over the course of the last 16 years, this charity has helped 50,000 children in America that otherwise wouldn't get dental treatment. Over $18 million worth of dental services provided to these 50,000 kids nationwide, started here in Kansas City. Obviously, it's got a bigger footprint and impact in the Kansas City area than most places. But even the golf tournament over these few years has raised over $250,000 to help these kids. And I just can't say enough about Dr. Bush, all the folks at NKC Dental for starting this program, and the people who work tirelessly, the volunteers, John McCarthy, the staff at Team Smiles. It's all in the memory of Ted Reese. And they raise money and help these kids. And I think this is a wonderful program. They work with NFL teams. Dustin Colquitt is very impactful on this. The Chiefs had a presence at the golf tournament on Monday as well. And they offer up basically the parking lot at Arrowhead Stadium every year for a Team Smiles event where they set up mobile dentistry. And all kinds of young kids from the Kansas City area can go and get dental treatment absolutely free. That's what it's all about. Team Smiles has traveled to Atlanta and other cities and done this with other NFL teams in other NFL parking lots or facilities around where the NFL is. And it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's such a worthy thing, such a worthy cause and a worthy charity. And we start today with a tip of the cap to Dr. Bush and all of the amazing people that he has assembled at Team Smiles and the great work that they do. We are so proud to be a very small part of that. We've taken part the last couple of years. We've made some donations. We've helped in ways that we can. And we've had a great time playing golf at a world-class golf course. Had an awful lot of fun. Of course, everybody at this golf tournament was talking about the PGA over the weekend. And Michael Block, the teaching pro, who teaches at a club called Arroyo Trabuco Golf Course in Mission Viejo, California, charges $150 for a lesson. He would have to teach a lot of lessons as a teaching pro at Arroyo to make $290,000, which is what he made at the PGA. So this is a little complicated if you don't follow golf. The PGA is confusing. You've heard of the PGA Tour. There's also the PGA of America. The PGA is largely teaching pros, not touring pros. They work at golf courses. They give lessons. They are essentially the golf course general manager. They run everything from food and beverage to organizing tournaments played at the golf course to giving lessons out on the range. A head PGA pro is it's almost a thankless job. I mean, you really, really have to love golf because you get all kinds of members or golfers that complain about every little thing, and it's a lot of headaches to be a pro, to be one of those pros, not the touring pros. The club pro. And that's what Michael Block is, and that's what he's been for quite some time. More recently, he's gotten to a place where he doesn't teach as many lessons. He doesn't give as many lessons, and he's able to play more golf. A lot of PGA professionals at golf clubs almost never play golf. But the PGA is a major, and it is for the Professional Golfers Association of America. That's that, and these club pros, basically. And every year, several of them qualify. I don't know the exact number. It's 10 or 12 are allowed to qualify and play in the PGA with the world's best touring pros. Very rarely do any of the PGA teaching pros get in a major championship and play well and finish, as Michael Block did, 15th, which gets him into next year's PGA automatically. It got him into this week's tournament in Fort Worth. The Colonial called him up and said, hey, we want you. You're a hell of a story. Dude hit a hole-in-one on Sunday on the 15th hole, and it will probably be the single most memorable moment of 2023's golf season that a club professional playing with Rory McIlroy, right, and they were both in the top 10, hits a hole-in-one on the 15th hole in front of tens of thousands of fans who go absolutely bonkers. One of the great lines after the tournament, Brooks Koepka won, which was obviously a lot of people talking about that too, because he's on the LIV Tour, and now a LIV Tour player has won a major, and Brooks Koepka has five of them, and he was way better than anybody else in this tournament. He gets done, and he runs into Michael Block, who they've kind of gotten to know this week, I guess, and as he walks by him, he said, "Hey, I hear you're buying drinks," and they had a good laugh, and it was funny. When you had all in one, you're supposed to buy drinks for everybody, and Michael Block did this, and he's just taken Twitter and Instagram and TikTok by storm. It's absolutely gone viral, and everybody's talking about this club professional that made almost $300,000 in this tournament by finishing 15th, and now he gets to play at Colonial this week and will be a big story. It'll be interesting to see what he wears, what kind of offers he gets from sporting good companies or sponsors this week to wear their logo at the Colonial, and whether or not other tournaments this year will call him and say, "We have an exemption. We'd like you to come play." He's 46 years old. He's clearly playing the best golf of his life. And he's only 3+ years away from the PGA Tour champions, where it certainly looks like if you finished 15th in the PGA, you could compete on the Champions Tour for sure. But this was just an amazing convergence of 2023 technology and the game of golf. Everything went viral. Everything that happened to him was caught on video. They told him the night before that he was going to be paired with Rory McIlroy, and they videoed this, and he just almost emotionally broke down. He couldn't believe that he was paired with Rory McIlroy and was going to play with Rory. Rory couldn't have been better. He gave him a big high five and a hug when he hit the hole in one. In fact, Rory was the one who told him it went in. Michael Block didn't know it went in, and Rory's like, "It went in. That's why they're going crazy," and he hugged him, and they had an unbelievably emotional hug at the end of the round. Rory just couldn't have been better with this man. This is what sports is about. And I love doing this podcast because there's always a reminder in goodness. There's a reminder in things that you don't normally see that we are reminded. It's, you know, I like this one Luke Bryan song. "Most people are good. I believe most people are good. Most people are good." And we learned that Michael Block is good. And when the light was shined on him in a very bright way for 4 days at the PGA Championship, we learned that not only is Michael Block good, the other players are good people too. They treated him with the utmost respect. They got to know him. He became a thing, and it may fade, and he may not play well at the Colonial this week, and he may not have anything that it takes to go out there on a weekly basis and do something like this, but he was an amazing story this weekend at a truly amazing major championship at Oak Hill, where Brooks Koepka won and was just terrific. And so we loved it. When the hole-in-one was hit, of course, there was a watch party back in Mission Viejo. Everybody at the golf course was watching to see how Michael was going to do, and somebody said as he stepped to the 15th tee, "He's going to get a hole-in-one." A lot of people say that a lot of times. Then he did. And of course, it was all caught on video back at the club where they were watching the thing live. Everything is out there. Every single little thing is out there, including after the tournament, when the tournament director from the Colonial this week in Fort Worth called him up, and he's put it on speakerphone, and they're videotaping him, and everybody's around him, and he says, "You're going to have to call my boss and get me the week off, because I just took a week off to play golf." No problem. They're going to allow him from Arroyo Trabuco Club in Mission Viejo to play this week at the Colonial. This is one of the most unbelievable stories. I just love it. And we're reminded why we love sports. Of course, for every great story in sports, there is a sad story, and the Royals are one sad story. There's no doubting that. The Royals, in addition, well, they lost another game on Monday night, extra innings this time. It's just remarkable how good they are at losing. The Royals cut Hunter Dozier. Hunter Dozier is one of the finest young men you'll ever meet. He's a devout Christian. He played with great effort. He checked a lot of boxes on the scouting report. He had size. He had power. He had some ability defensively. There were a lot of reasons why the Royals thought Hunter Dozier was going to be a great player. There were not a lot of reasons to give him the contract they gave him, the 4-year extension a couple of years ago. But they did, and now they've decided Hunter Dozier, they have no plans for Hunter Dozier going forward. They've cut him, and they owe him $15 million still. $15 million to not play. Obviously, this is bad business by the Royals. Obviously, this is when Dayton Moore was the general manager, not J.J. Piccolo. But you're asking yourself the question, is there really any difference? Have the Royals made a change without Dayton Moore? And if they have made a change, is it a change for the worse? Because everything is pointing to this is all a change for the worse. There's very little to look at and say, oh, this is getting better. This player, this thing, this development, this, oh, we see a sign, there's just, it doesn't exist. And there is nothing worse or more frustrating right now than watching Brady Singer pitch, who last year, in the second half of the season, was so good. He was the Royals Pitcher of the Year, and he made the World Baseball Classic for Team USA. He was thought coming into this season to be a borderline ace, an absolute stud lock of a pitcher, and he can't get anybody out. This is a disastrous season for the Royals taking place right now, an absolute disaster, and the pain cuts deep. There goes Hunter Dozier, and they still owe him $15 million. Good luck with that. The Los Angeles Dodgers made news on Monday. This is really disappointing. We did this story last week. The Dodgers made the proper decision for their Pride Night to not include a group of men who call themselves the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. It is a rather comical name for men who dress up as nuns and paint their faces, by the way. This is not just men wearing nun outfits. They look like clowns. They are clearly mocking nuns and Christians. There is little doubt that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are mocking Catholics and mocking nuns. There's no gray area here. There is no gray area. So the Dodgers did the right thing last week and said, you know, we're going to have our Pride Night, but you're not welcome here. It's been pointed out to us by a lot of Christians that you're really mocking who and what they are, and we don't have space for that. And we propped them up right here on this podcast and said, way to go. You're still going to have your Pride Night, but these people doing this thing right here, it's wrong. And anybody that looks at the images and photos of these men dressed as nuns, like clown nuns, mocking nuns, can say that's a good choice by the Dodgers to not include them. Well, after several days of being hammered by the left, just hammered, the Dodgers have caved. On the field, June 16th will be the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. The Dodgers put out a press release and said that this group saves lives. They gave a full apology. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are described as a, quote, charity, protest, and performance group, end quote, of men. I don't know exactly how they're saving lives, but the Dodgers now are taking it a step further. They're going to give the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, they're not just going to let them come and have them march on the field or whatever it is that they do. They're going to give them the Community Hero Award. Wow. What a turnaround. In a very, very short period of time, that's a pretty remarkable turnaround. The Dodgers just couldn't take it. Apparently, taking grief from the left is just way harder than taking it from the right. That's all I can figure. Because the Dodgers actually heard people on the right say they're mocking us. And the Dodgers did the right thing. They said, no, we're not going to have anybody out here that mocks or makes fun of somebody. We're not doing that. And then a few days later, they've completely caved. Not just allowing them, but we're going to honor them. We're going to give you a hero award. We're so sorry. Please accept our apology. What is it that the left does that makes people react this way? I don't know, but the Dodgers have done that. Glenn Kuiper is now the former broadcaster for the Oakland A's. Remember a few weeks ago in Kansas City, the A's were here and Kuiper was telling the story about visiting the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and he had trouble saying the word Negro. And it sounded like the other N-word. After all this time being suspended, the A's have announced that they have parted ways. It's actually NBC Sports Bay Area, have announced their parting ways with Glenn Kuiper. I mean, you had to think that was coming. Not sure why this took so long. Maybe they ran it through legal or did whatever it is they had to do. But I think we all knew that Glenn Kuiper was going to be out of a job after that one slipped out, because it just kind of slipped off his tongue too easily, I think is the best way to describe it. That one you can put to bed. Glenn Kuiper is out. He is out as the A's broadcaster. KKHI is brought to you by Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. I get so many emails from you that you love your Finch pocket knife. It's cool. Many of you have purchased several of these, and you either switch them up day to day or you collect them. They're absolute collector's items. You can see them at Shields. You can also see the entire line online at finchknifeco.com. That's finchknifeco.com. Featuring the new Flint series is a 7.2-inch knife with a 3-inch blade, satin finish, titanium clip. You're going to love the Flint series at finchknifeco.com. If you're a dealer and you'd like to stock these in your store, they'd love to have you. Just log on to finchknifeco.com. You can click an email there, send it to Spencer or Steve, one of my buddies over at Finch Knife Co. They would love to be in your store. And you can keep life from getting dull with a pocket knife from Finch Knife Company. Advanced Medical Imaging. See what's inside. Online at medimageks.com. That's medimageks.com. When you need an MRI or a CT scan, you don't want to wait 3 weeks. It sounds dangerous to wait that long. Well, there's a solution. That's why Advanced Medical Imaging does what they do. They're outside the hospital chain, so you don't have to, if you go to a certain hospital and the doctor says you need to get a CT scan, and they tell you, oh, we can schedule you 2 weeks from Thursday, you don't have to do that. You can go to Advanced Medical Imaging today or tomorrow. They'll work with your insurance provider and get this thing done as quickly as possible and send it over to your doctor and speed up the process. It could be a life-altering, life-saving event to do it quicker. They also offer heart scans for your plaque score. This is important as well, and it's out of pocket. I don't know why insurance doesn't cover it, but it doesn't. It's only $100, under $100 to go get your heart scan at Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimageks.com, or call 785-856-0224. Meanie's Galleria is at 105th and Metcalf. It's that time of year. You're spending more time outside right now? How about some comfy new patio furniture? Ooh, what a great time of year to do that. They've got all kinds of great lines of outdoor furniture in stock right now, ready for you. Meanie's is also offering up 60 months, no interest. To learn more, go to Meanie's.com, A-M-I-N-I-S, Meanie's.com, or visit them at 105th and Metcalf, or if you live near St. Louis, Tulsa, or Oklahoma City, there's an Meanie's there as well. Do me a favor, mention the podcast when you go in. Let them know you're listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. We appreciate them being on board now as part of our sponsor team, and they've got great things for your game room, guys. Golden tee, pool tables, shuffleboard, pinball machines, you name it. It's all at Meanie's. 105th and Metcalf. The NFL has very quietly released some information about sports betting that you may not have known, because I didn't know this. I knew that somebody got in trouble for betting on the NFL, but I didn't know the extent of this. Over the past couple of years, the NFL now says seven players on three different teams and one assistant coach have been suspended, or in the case of the players, I think all of them have been cut and released. You want to get cut from your NFL team? Bet on the NFL. So when you're an NFL player, you can't bet on the NFL. You're allowed, obviously, to have the app on your phone and bet on the NBA or baseball or whatever, but you can't bet on the NFL when you're a player or a coach. If you work for a team in the NFL, you can't bet on the NFL. Players are no exception. Well, players did. There is zero evidence in any case that any of these players bet like against their own team in order to profit, where they were, there's none of that. These were all instances where these players bet on other games going on in the league. In other words, maybe you're playing on Sunday and then Monday Night Football comes around and you put a bet in on the Monday night game. It sounds pretty harmless, but the league does have to take a stance on that and say, we just can't have personnel doing this. You just can't. I was surprised to see what's happened. We know of at least three players that have cut and are out of football. A couple of these got one-year suspensions. Big, long, hard punishments by the NFL. And I guess that's the right thing to do. We're not talking about huge sums of money here either. There was no fix. There was no million-dollar bet somewhere where somebody was throwing a game. But I think what the NFL is doing by these really severe punishments and ultimately players being cut from teams, I think what they're doing is they're sending a very serious message around the league. Don't mess with this. Your career is short. What's the average NFL career? I think it's like 3 years or a little over 3 years is the average NFL career. Obviously, Tom Brady played 20-some years. He's the exception. Mahomes will play a lot of years. A few players play a lot of years. But the Chiefs are down to, what, three or four players on their team that have been here 5 years? Because it's just a lot of turnover with these players. And the point is, while you're playing or while you work for the NFL, you can't bet on sports. Now, my question is, how many people are doing this in the front office and getting away with it and don't get caught? How many would tell their wife, hey, we think the Raiders got this. You know, we heard this about the Raiders this week. They're playing the Broncos, and we want to play Denver. And then your wife puts it in. Maybe. I mean, I don't know, because these teams obviously had a lot of – there's a lot of information, for example, inside the building at Arrowhead that is not available to us. And I don't know how prevalent it would be, but it would be mighty tempting if you thought you could hit 60% of the NFL games, which is hard to do. You can make a lot of money. And if you have information or you know about other teams or things about games that lead you to believe it's going to go one way over the other, I think it would be very tempting to have your wife or your brother or your friend put in some bets for you and maybe not get caught. I don't know. I got to think that happens a lot. I would think that's happening in a lot of places. And there's nothing really the NFL can do to really find that or do much about it. In the NBA, yes, I've been watching the NBA. The Nuggets, I mean, the Nuggets are fun. They're good. They're good and they're fun, and the Lakers are out. And I've always been critical and tough on LeBron James here on the podcast, but mostly for things that he says or things that he doesn't know or things like that. He's been a terrific basketball player. Again, I've never really been a fan of his, jumping around all these different teams. He strikes me as the kind of guy that you wouldn't really want to be friends with. He just is that guy. He got a technical in the game Monday night. He threw a throat punch at a dude. It's LeBron James. But he did his level best after a not so great regular season to carry his team and build this team in the postseason to get to the Western Conference Finals. And while that's not how LeBron James is ever judged, it's about how many titles have you won or whatever, it's a pretty good feat at age 38 for him to put this squad together and make this run and get to the finals. They're just not as good as Denver. It's not really close. They probably got farther than they should have. Denver's really, really good. Now people are saying you could really see LeBron's age in this series. Well, I didn't hear them saying that as they were moving through the Western Conference playoffs to the Western Conference Finals, but now they're saying you could kind of see it. He looks tired. He looks sore. He's not as clutch. And LeBron James said after the game, he's got a lot to think about this offseason. Like, he's considering retirement. I'm going to go ahead and predict that he does not retire. That this is the kind of guy that if he's going to retire, he's going to announce this is my last year. And he's going to go on a victory lap tour. He definitely strikes me as that guy that would say, and that's what I'll go ahead and predict that. If he's thinking about retirement, as Bill Snyder used to say, if you're thinking about retirement, you're already retired. Or you should be retired. If you're in sports and you're thinking about retirement, you should just be out because you don't have what it takes to win anymore. That's probably where LeBron is. I'm going to predict. I don't know a thing. I'm just going to predict that he's the guy that's going to say, I'm playing one more year. And those tickets are going to be valuable and people want to go see him play one more time. And he'll go all around the league and go to all the places and it'll be a big deal everywhere he goes. They'll give him gifts. There will be photo opportunities. And he will cherish being in the spotlight. You cannot deny the man is a great basketball player. I'm not going to sit here and try to rank the greatest players in NBA history. I'm not. I know the player that had the most impact on the game is Michael Jordan. That's easy to see. He still today sells $5 billion worth of gear for Nike per year. $5 billion of Air Nikes get sold every year. Dude hadn't played in how many years? He's an owner of a team. He's worth over $2 billion. There's no question Michael Jordan's the most impactful player in NBA history. But there's too many great players, too far back, too many different positions for me to get into some rabbit hole discussion of the best player of all time. My personal opinion would be Michael Jordan's the most impactful basketball player I've ever seen. Just literally changed the league and the sport and culture and all those things. So if that matters, that's where I would go. But LeBron James has been a terrific, terrific player, and I do think he'll play. I got to think he's going to play one more year and see what takes place. All right, on to news. Things going on, brought to you by Bstock, online at bstock.net. The red tag deal of the week, which is at thekklist.com, is an Apple MacBook Pro 13.3-inch screen, space gray, 2017, completely refurbished, got a warranty. It's at $9.99 right now. If you go to the KK list, every week under Red Tag Special, you click on it, you can see what the item is, and the bidding starts at $9.99 for a MacBook Pro. They just got to get rid of some of this stuff. That's why they do it. It's like giving it away. But it is an auction item, so you can bid on that. They also have some great deals this week, like an LG 86-inch big screen television, $8.99, comes with free delivery in the Kansas City area. We love that. If you're outside the Kansas City area, they will still deliver to you just for the fuel cost, round trip. Whatever their fuel costs, they'll bring it to you. We gave the example last week of if you bought it in Hayes, Kansas, it's 518 miles, round trip, be $98 worth of fuel. And they'll deliver it right to you. They also have appliances at Bstock, laptops, Apple, you name it, it's all there. Visit them at their warehouse, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe, or online at bstock.net. And our friends at Tickets for Less would love, love, love to have you purchase something through their great service. We told you the story last week of the dude who sold his tickets to Tickets for Less. If you're holding Taylor Swift and don't want to go, Tickets for Less will pay big money to you for your tickets. It's serious. It's legit now. Ticketsforless.com. When you're purchasing at Tickets for Less, don't forget the promo code KKHI. Chiefs tickets are on sale for every game. This is the time to buy them. The prices are only going to go up as the games get more and more meaningful and we get closer to them. You want to make sure you have great seats for an awesome Chiefs game? This is the way I do it. I'll pick one or two games a year, and we'll go through Tickets for Less and get the exact seats that we want, and we'll do that for less than it would cost basically to have like season tickets. So it's a great way to go. And you're always going to save 5 to 15% at ticketsforless.com with the promo code KKHI. All right, on to news. Tim Scott is a senator from South Carolina, and he has declared that he's running for president. There's no surprise there. It was basically released on Friday. Then he made the major announcement, I guess, on Monday. I like Tim Scott as a candidate. I think he's good for the Republican Party. I think his message is spot on. I hope that his message runs deep among black voters in America, that they hear his message, they see it, and they believe it, that relying on the Democrats or relying on government to do things for you, choosing grievance over greatness, as he said in his speech. I thought it was a great line. The Democrats choose grievance over greatness. That's his line, and he's right. And it is a powerful message for black Americans when Tim Scott speaks. The interesting thing about Tim Scott running is not that we think he's going to be the candidate. I don't think he's going to win the Republican primary. The interesting thing about him running is it has felt all along like Trump and DeSantis both want him in the race, that he's good for business, that if he's on the debate stage, it's good for the party. It's good for people to see an outstanding black senator from South Carolina doing great things as a senator and running for president of the United States. There's no downside here to Tim Scott. He could be a choice for running mate for DeSantis or Trump. It's telling that this is the first person to enter the race that I know of that Trump didn't hammer when they got in. He said, hey, we work together. The field is getting crowded. And then while welcoming Tim Scott to the race, he took a shot at Ron DeSanctimonious. I think DeSantis is probably going to announce this week or next. We got a holiday on Monday. right? Isn't Memorial Day Monday? Yeah, the holiday is coming up on Monday, so you can't wait too late this week. If you're going to do it, you do it by Thursday for sure. If not, you probably wait until next week, next Wednesday, next Thursday, but he's going to do it. Santas is going to run, and he's going to announce, and it's going to get interesting from there, just to see what the polls say, how it's all reflected, and how it goes. But we welcome Tim Scott to the race. Sounds like Trump's happy to have him there and happy to have a chance to welcome Tim Scott to the race and hammer Ron DeSantis in one fell swoop, in one social media post. In North Carolina, not so far away from South Carolina, obviously, the governor has declared a state of emergency. The governor's a Democrat. Now, I don't know enough about the law or North Carolina politics to know exactly what a state of emergency is or does for a governor. It's my understanding that there is legal clout when you declare a state of emergency that you can get things done that you couldn't get done otherwise. But North Carolina is another one of these states that has a veto-proof majority in their House filled with Republicans. It's veto-proof. They can pass things that the governor can veto, and it doesn't matter. They can override the veto. And right now, the Republicans have a school choice bill that they've passed. It is exactly what it sounds like. Our public schools are failing our kids. The Democrats have taken it over. There's an indoctrination process taking place, and we need to give parents choice. We need to help them with these schools. Well, the Democratic governor doesn't like that. He can't do anything about it, so he's declared a state of emergency. Now, that's about as selfish and narcissistic a thing as I could ever think of. The duly elected representatives of the great state of North Carolina, representing the voters, are putting forth legislation that the voters want. You absolutely, as governor, have the right to veto it. They're going to override you. So you declare a state of emergency? Like, that's a real thing. You sign a real document and you declare a state of emergency in North Carolina because the Republicans have control? I mean, these people on the left just keep coming up with stuff that we've never heard of. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when Trump was president? Oh, I got to declare a state of emergency. Nancy Pelosi's over here doing this. The whole thing's absurd. I can't believe some of the things that they come up with. They do it. They find them somehow, some way. They find them. All right, this is a sad story, but it needs to be told, and it's good for you to hear, because I think we all need a little more humility and humanity in the way we treat others. Andrew Lester's an 84-year-old man in Kansas City that shot teenage boy Ralph Yarl at his front door, what, about a month ago, 6 weeks ago? Andrew Lester is 84 years old. He was awakened at 10-something at night, got to the door, thought Yarl was trying to come in, and shot him. We know what's happened in the aftermath. President Biden, Mayor Q, everybody jumps on board. Andrew Lester's a racist, and he's got to go to jail for life. Life. That's what they want, because I think it's a 20-year sentence. Well, he's 84. He's not living 20 years. He might not live the rest of this year. This story is getting sadder and sadder. Recently, Andrew Lester was due in court. His lawyer went on his behalf, told the judge, Andrew cannot be here. His health is failing. What you didn't know is prior to the shooting, Andrew Lester had a heart surgery. He was not of great health, and how that affects your decision-making and things that you're doing is certainly not for me to speak of, but I've seen plenty of 84-year-olds that aren't really with it, aren't completely coherent and know what they're doing, and I don't see any compassion in this story. I don't see any compassion. I said right from the start, look, if you want to take this man, and he's clearly of not great health, and put him in a facility, fine, but not some sort of federal state prison with other shooters or whatever. This is terrible. So he had this heart surgery. Now listen to this. According to the lawyer, Andrew Lester has lost 40 pounds since the incident. His house has been vandalized. He's been harassed and threatened. His wife had to be moved into a different nursing home outside of Kansas City because people in Kansas City were harassing her. This is sad. These people are in their 80s. They're past their golden years. It doesn't sound like either one of them is of good health. This is the end of their life. They've lived a long, full life and never hurt anyone. We've got a terrible incident. Terrible incident. I can't defend it. It was a bad thing that he did. But it could easily have been what he said, a misunderstanding, a frightening moment. I don't know. Where's the compassion on this man? What is wrong with people going after him? He's already served enough punishment for the crime. He pulling a trigger at a person is pulling a trigger at a person, okay? So that happened. But he basically missed. He like grazed an arm. It shouldn't matter. He did shoot at him. It's the same crime whether you shoot him right between the eyes or right on the arm. You've committed the same crime. You're shooting at someone with the intent to kill them. So, I mean, I don't know. This one just, it seems to me that there needs to be some compassion here. Can you believe the wife had to be moved into a nursing home outside of Kansas City because people were harassing her in a nursing home? It's a bad one. It sounds like he's not going to live long is what it sounds like. It sounds like this is a life-ending event. We know when you're 84 and you've lost 40 pounds in 6 weeks, something is really wrong. Something is really wrong. So that's the latest on Andrew Lester. They want the court case to be sealed and not available to the public for privacy. They've petitioned the judge for this. That's what the thing was about. And the judge has not ruled yet whether this is going to be a public or private thing. It needs to be public. This one needs to go away, folks. This is not the one. This is just the problems in the world. This was not the one. This was blown way out of proportion for what it was. Oh, here's a fun one from Saturday night. Jessica and I went to the Power and Light District for a concert, a country artist named Billy Currington. He has a song called People Are Crazy. And the line is, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy. He's got a couple of other great songs. Really, Good Directions, a fantastic song. He's just got some, and he's like real country. And the show was good, and he's got a song where he mentions Bud Light in it. And everybody there, it was a sing-along. Everybody knows the song, everybody knows the words. And the first time through, he says Bud Light. Okay. And the second time through, he changes it to Coors Light. The third time through, the entire crowd screams Coors Light. It was so surreal that many people were in tune to the Bud Light controversy, and the man changed the words in the middle of the song, and everybody shouted Coors Light in the middle of the song. This is one of those really interesting phenomena that took place with this Bud Light story. Truly amazing. But Billy Currington got quite a reaction to that. I thought you would enjoy knowing that that's out there. I shot some videos. I may have caught that on video. I may not have. I don't really remember. There's several songs, and I always over video concerts because the audio quality is never very good. I always forget that, but I'm like, hey, this is pretty cool. And then the next day I wind up deleting like 20 videos out of my phone. Like, I can't have all this stuff in here. And the audio just isn't as good. It's not an ideal reflection of what the concert sounded like. That's what bothers me most. It's not the video I'm shooting. It's the audio quality. You're like, well, he doesn't sound as good. Well, no, he doesn't sound as good. I'm 100 yards away and an iPhone's picking it up as ambient sound. No, he doesn't sound as good as when you were hearing it through the amps at Power and Light. Billy Currington changing the words to his song. KKHI is brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, online at fryorthodontics.com. 13 locations. Get your smile for life, where Invisalign and braces are the same price at fryorthodontics.com. Tim Cross over at Cross Kitchens. We had a great day on Saturday at the Wyandotte County Fairgrounds at the Friends in Service of Heroes event. Tim was there. His family was there. They're awesome people. We had a really nice day. If you'd like to meet Tim and maybe consider having him do some new countertops or flooring or a complete remodel of your kitchen or bathroom or man cave, log on to crosskitchenskc.com or call Tim at 816-898-7047. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. That's the jewelry you recommend to your friends and family. And Great Life Golf, right now, they're offering discounts at some of their individual courses. So if you want to play golf, some of you have emailed me and said, you know, I don't play enough golf to join a Great Life Club. I get that. You like to play one, two, three times a year, something like that. So if you're that person, log on to Great Life Golf and check out some of their courses around Kansas City that they have that are daily fee courses that you can just go play. Ask them about KKHI discounts, up to 20% off your green fee price if you mention the podcast at one of the individual courses where they take daily play. So give them a call. Check them out online. There's a course near you if you want to play one round of golf this year or two rounds of golf this year. Make it a Great Life course. Online at greatlifegolf.com, greatlifekc.com. Our final is from the world of baseball. And I don't know how to categorize this other than it's sad, funny, weird, unique, all at once. I mean, you're not going to be in mourning over this. This isn't as sad as the Andrew Lester story and what he's going through and his wife. Will Brennan is a player for the Cleveland Guardians in Major League Baseball, and he slapped hard a single to left field on Monday. It was kind of a line drive, low line drive. It was not a ground ball. It was a low line drive, came off his bat, where the first place it hits the ground is right at the edge of the grass on the infield. So this is to the right of the pitcher. It's before the dirt starts. Right? So the shortstop is playing him to pull. So there's a little bit of an opening, and this thing is headed right toward where the shortstop would normally be. And it hits on the ground right at the end of the infield grass before the dirt starts, where a bird was harmlessly sitting on the ground, pecking away, looking for a seed or a bug, as birds do. And this line drive hit that bird. And that bird died instantly. And they scooped him up, and they put him in a bucket, and they took him off the field. Now, there is no great video of this. There's good video. A guy in the stands apparently shot it, and they've slowed it down, and you can see it happen. This is nothing, nothing as dramatic as Randy Johnson, gosh, what, 20 years ago now in Arizona, when he threw a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, and the bird, I think it was a pigeon, because they have pigeons in some of these ballparks out in Arizona. The pigeon just kind of flew into it accidentally, and the feathers just... It would be like taking one of Mike Lindell's My Pillows and shooting it with a gun. The feathers and stuffing just flew everywhere. And Randy Johnson did. That's one of the most famous videos there is. You can Google that one if you've never seen it. Just Google Randy Johnson kills bird. It's an unbelievable video. This one, it's sad. We feel bad for the bird. Feel bad for him. Will Brennan looked like he was pretty shaken up. He took his helmet off at first base and he's like, oh man, you know, you'd feel bad. I don't want to hurt a bird. Really? But boy, he smoked that line drive and that bird was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Our final here at KKHI. 28,000 of you strong. Thank you so much. Several people at the golf tournament yesterday say, hey, I'll hit that like, follow, or subscribe button. So I had a dude walk up to me yesterday and say, Kevin, I love your podcast, but I disagree with your politics. I said, well, thank you, sir, very much. I really appreciate that and respect you for that. No problem. And I don't know, like today, I think even a Democrat could listen to today's podcast and say, okay, I disagree with them. I think the nuns should be on the field, right? Or whatever. But you could listen to this and go, okay, we can disagree on these things, but we are a rational discussion. Did a lot of sports in this one, so I appreciated that. I always thought most liberals won't hit the play button or listen to this, and I don't think there are very many, but this guy was genuine. He was really nice. He goes, I like your podcast. I just don't like your politics. So if you watch the headlines of the podcast, it's always in order of what the stories are. So I've had some people say, I really like your sports, but it's too much news, or the other way around. I say, well, look at the headline. And if sports is up first, just hit play. That's the topics you're getting. And if you don't want the news part, the sports part will end and you can be gone and whatever. It's all good. There's a little bit of something for everybody here, man. Sports, politics, and life. We call it Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.